friends, welcome back to Not Again, the podcast that brings college-level analysis to preschool-level content. I'm one of your hosts, Rebecca.
I'm your other host, Alan.
And your mini-host is Ari.
Yes.
He's not napping today because he slept really late.
Yep, he's here today and he's ready to burble.
Yeah, burble and gurgle and schmorgle.
Schmorgle. He's going to do all three and you're going to hear it.
Yep. Or maybe not, because maybe I have figured out editing, but probably not. Okay. When last we left our heroes, we had Kanta being a dirty child. I know that you probably missed the segment at the beginning where we said last time on and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, the second part of this, it's not necessarily like contingent upon you hearing the first part. Although, obviously, I believe you should go back and listen to the first part. We are still talking about My Neighbor Totoro.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to hear about the first half of My Neighbor Totoro, go listen to episode 18. It's lucky number 18. Do that. We are going to, here's my catchphrase, jump right back into it after we hear that Kanta's a dirty child. Again, we're not really recapping the whole movie. I just took notes on what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So if you're missing something, you know, go watch the movie. It was a dark and stormy night. Totoro appeared from the darkness. Mei and Satsuki were never seen again. This is a horror movie. I'm kidding, of course, but basically it is a dark and stormy night. Mei and Satsuki are waiting for their dad to get off the bus, and Totoro does just kind of materialize beside them with a leaf on his head, which is almost like his, not quintessential, but it's his quintessential look, like when his iconic look, yes.
There you go.
When like people portray him, he's got that leaf on his head. And it turns out it's because he wants to be protected from the rain. So yeah. Satsuki offers him the extra umbrella and he loves it, but also is still terrifying to me. So then he does some shenanigans with the rain and then Kappa appears and Kappa is terrifying. I'm sorry, I'm really hammering this point home, but like Kappa is terrifying. It is a bus that is also a cat that you are supposed to get within that is furry on the inside and is anatomically correct in one scene we see.
I have a special problem with Cat Bus opening his or her, I guess.
His,
I don't know.
Anatomically his, correct.
Oh,
like
well,
I just said.
Yeah, no, you
no,
remember better than I.
Definitely his.
All right.
Yeah.
Opening his side
door. Yes.
But because the bus is made of cat,
yes,
it's just the stretching of flesh.
And yeah, and flesh inside too. So like imagine you're sitting on flesh seat.
But like,
granted, if you're sitting on a leather seat, you're sitting on flesh seat.
Yeah, but like,
it wouldn't breathe. The leather seat would not breathe.
Yes, there are many concerns.
Do you hear a heartbeat when you go inside Cat Bus?
You must. If it is made of flesh, there must be fluids pumping.
Yes.
This is required for life.
I don't like Cat Bus. It's not cute. But Warren liked Cat Bus.
Oh, yes.
As soon as Cat Bus appeared, he'd be like, bus, bus, bus. I wrote, is it cute when Warren says bus, bus, bus? Absolutely. But he does not see. He does not recognize the horrors of entering within a cat. An anatomically correct cat. Cat Bus is not neutered. Yes. So neuter your pets, first of all.
Yes.
Second of all, again, we said last episode that in Japan, they have kind of less puritanical views about certain things. And one of those things, not even just Japan, but like Europe too, there's a movie called The Triplets of Belleville. I don't feel like looking at Belleville, something like that. That just shows like anatomically correct animals. Because let's face it, animals got all their stuff out.
Yeah, well,
We don't care about it when we see it in real life.
And on one level, I get it. It's just like, no, we're not sexualizing these animals.
Right.
Like, it's just, that's the way they are.
Animals just don't have that kind of humility.
They don't need to worry about shame. They just...
And still, I will get there, I guess, but the scene when we see Cat Bus's bits is like an undershot. Like, it's so gratuitous. Does Cat Bus poop? Does it have a cat bus litter box?
These are the questions. These are the real questions.
This is why I don't find it cute. This is why I never like Cat Dog.
It raises the questions that you don't want to have to ask yourself.
Actually, I never liked Cat Dog because all the characters in Cat Dog were jerks. I was about to curse again.
Oh.
Do you know Cat Dog?
I know of it.
Yeah.
I was not... was that Nickelodeon or Cartoon? No, I was not a Nickelodeon kid.
Yeah, I know you weren't. That's what I was asking.
Yeah, so I know of it. I, you know, kids at school would have a cat bus, or not cat bus,
see, we're,
cat dog backpack or something like that. But, like, no, I wasn't.
I don't like shows where all the characters are jerks. Like, I want somebody. That's why I don't like Toy Story. I know I'm the only person in the world who did not like Toy Story, but I did not want to root for any of those characters. It wasn't about having a character arc. Did Woody have a character arc? Sure. Did he scare the bejesus out of a small child who will need therapy forever? Yes. But, like, he was a jerk, and Buzz Lightyear was a jerk, and Bo Peep was a jerk, and Potato Head was a jerk.
I don't know. Slinky Dog was okay.
Slinky Dog was a jerk.
I don't actually remember.
And so I didn't. I was like, I don't care about any of these characters. Anyway, so in conclusion, Cat Bus probably breathes, might poop.
All right.
Okay. Remember, your poop jokes need to be earned. I feel like we've earned ours, okay?
That's like a good question to ask yourself just whenever there's something anatomical that shouldn't be.
Yes.
You know, like in cars.
They're
like,
the ones who open that door.
Yeah. They put it's got a mouth. What's the other end of that?
Yeah. They put a mouth.
Is it a sea sponge? They only got the one? Like, I don't know.
They put sexual organs on it. Like, they open that door. I'm just walking through it. Anyway, the next relevant moment is that Totoro leaves them some acorns. Remember, I brought that up last episode. I was about to say last season. We don't do seasons on this show. Last episode. And they plant them. And then at night, Totoro comes with his little Totoros to help them grow the tree plants. And that's fine. That's cute enough.
I have a mystical question. I have a question about that. Because he helps them grow this garden, and it grows and grows and grows and grows. Like, that's part of the magic.
Yes.
And then the next morning, they have sproutlings. Yes. And
sproutlings. Okay, sorry. That's just the cutest word ever. Anyway.
Is that the right word? I think just that sprouts. Might be. I don't know. There's saplings.
Saplings. Yes.
Sproutlings. Sproutlings, apparently, I just coined it. You can have it.
I love it.
It's part of the world now.
Yeah. No, and then they chant, I thought it was a dream, but it wasn't a dream. Except that if it wasn't a dream, there'd be a giant tree.
Yeah, there
were
parts of it that were definitely a dream.
Yeah, but here's the part that I actually wanted to talk about, which is just that Totoro's like, yay, we grew a tree. Now jump onto my body and we're going to fly around. And I'm like, don't jump onto his body. This is weird. So they literally just like kind of like attach themselves to him like those Garfield things that go in the backs of minivan drivers' windows. It's weird. I don't know. Everything about this movie weirds me out.
Are we at the point where now that they... Okay, so I think we're confusing the cat bus scenes, or at least I am in my head. Is this the scene where they... Because that's at the very end of the movie where they visit their mother in the hospital.
The cat bus takes them there.
But that's not what we're talking about right now.
No, literally just to like celebrate the... trees and plants growing.
Okay.
It's a very short scene, so it's fine if you don't remember.
Okay.
That's probably why
I'm confusing it.
Yeah, Totoro's just like, he like throws his arms out and he has like this spinny top thing he stands on.
Okay.
And the little Totoros jump on him, and then Mei and Satsuki jump on him and they just kind of cling to him, and then he flies around a bit and then they wake up.
Okay.
And I don't know, we should have like an honorary bad parenting alert for the dad, because they're like, hey, will our trees grow? And he's like, you should ask the Totoro. But like, he doesn't know. He doesn't know that the Totoro is real and is, you know, dragging them all over the place. So,
yeah,
you know, he's just trying to encourage their imagination.
And he's kind of like going like, oh, they're interested in seeds and nature, and I'm going to encourage this thinking like of them exploring this.
Okay.
And that's
bad parenting.
It's like, yeah, so, but like, if he knew, it would be bad parenting.
Yes, I feel like. Even though we know Totoro isn't dangerous, like, it's still weird. So we are coming up on our first of two bad granny alerts, but before we do the musical sting, I want to set the scene. Granny is in an agricultural family. Like, she and her family grow things in order to survive and also, I believe, sell, you know, for profit or whatever. This is an ancient Japan, so I assume they had money. I don't know how history works. Anyway, I'm not going to cut out me being stupid. You guys get to know how stupid I am. I'm an English teacher, not a history teacher. So she has a farm, essentially. She has a rice field as well, I believe, or at least she works on one. But On her farm, she grows various vegetables. And sometimes, as you said last episode, when Dad is working and Satsuki and Mei don't have school, they go to find Granny.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do this. And she's helping them to pick some vegetables to eat for lunch. And they, you know, they get like some corn and tomatoes and cucumbers. And it's a lovely little meal. And remember, Miyazaki draw food amazing. That's, I don't like biting directly into cucumber. And I want to bite directly into that cucumber.
This is a cartoon that makes you want to buy a cucumber and eat it.
Yeah.
And a cucumber is a vegetable. And I mean, I enjoy vegetables. But to sell somebody a vegetable is...
Through a
cartoon is a masterstroke.
Yeah, it's impressive. But as they are preparing to eat and eating, so they're sitting under a tree, essentially having a picnic, we get our first bad grannying alert. I have exact quotes here. Granny and Satsuki and Mei are sitting under this tree, and Satsuki and Granny, I don't know, Granny said, this is the one thing I don't have a quote for. Granny says something about how delicious her vegetables are, or nutritious, or something like that. She says they had like a lot of time to soak up the sun and gain nutrients. And Satsuki says, and this is like all exact quotes in the English version, we'll get to the Japanese. Will they help my mom get better? And Granny says, of course they would. If your mom eats my vegetables, I bet she'd get well right away. And then there's a bit of whatever dialogue. And then later, she finds out from them that their mom is going to come home for like a few days to kind of get used to the house. And she says in response, we'll feed her lots of vegetables while she's here. And Mei says, I'll give her the corn that I picked. That'll make her better. And Granny says, I bet that will do her wonders. Why is this a bad grannying alert?
Because that is not how illness works. Vegetables are good for you, and they can help you keep your regular health should you have it.
Yes.
But they do not cure mysterious mom is in the hospital illness.
Yeah, plot convenience disease.
Yeah, it's not defined. We talked about that a little last episode and why that might be not defined. And Mei 100% believes that if she can deliver this corn to her mother will be able to come and stay home.
And be well.
And be well.
Like cured.
And so this is this becomes extremely...
The third act of the movie.
Yeah, the third act of the movie. Extremely dangerous because she goes on this adventure based on these words, I think, completely... to deliver a vegetable to her mother in a hospital far away, and she is in legitimate danger and missing for a long time,
we have a lot to say about that.
We have a lot to say about that.
But she's 4 years old.
But she's 4 years old, and she grabs a piece of corn on this lady's advice to deliver it to her mother in order to cure her illness.
Yes.
She's operating on these words. She understands what she said, and she is working that plan. And so...
And she gets lost in the meantime. Well, like, it doesn't work. Like, she doesn't know how to get to the hospital. This is dangerous.
She thinks this is going to work because she was told it was going to work. So she, caution to the wind. Like, my mom is in danger. I can fix this.
All she needed all this time was some good corn. Of course I'm going to do anything.
Like, of course I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
I'm animated. This is real bad.
So that's that. And then on top of that, I can't tell if she herself believes what she's saying or realizes what she's saying. I always got the impression Granny was humoring them when they were like, will it make my mom better? But what if she's just talking more about like, vegetables are healthy and I believe it would be a good meal. Like, it would be the same thing as saying like, I'll make her some chicken soup. It will make her feel better. Did she not realize what she was saying, or does she genuinely believe that the vegetables will help?
I don't think that she... I mean,
this is a cartoon character, but like, let's go with it.
I have to believe that she doesn't think the vegetables are curative. Maybe she's like a... I don't want to put anybody on blast, like, but like a homeopathic something.
Yeah.
But and if you put two drops of corn into a glass of water,
but
it'll cure your cancer.
Homeopathy is not about... like core anyway.
Like,
so I just wonder about like her intentions there. Like what message did she hope that they would take away from that? I mean, it seems so vastly irresponsible to tell kids, especially a four-year-old, these vegetables will cure your mom, the next question out of their mouth should be like, well, then why aren't we going to the hospital right now to cure our mom? Well, like, take us, Granny.
Yeah, this is,
get
yeah.
the car.
I mean, I think
get
she,
the cat
I,
bus.
I think she was just saying, like, oh, vegetables are good for you. Like, oh, how good are they? Oh, they'll help you, you know?
Well, speaking of that, we should get into the Japanese translation, I guess.
Yeah, but it's kind of like it's like a get-rich-quick scheme. Like, if they worked, why aren't they doing them at Goldman Sachs?
Yes, so I watched this scene in Japanese because I was curious if it was a lost in translation sort of thing. Although, as I said last episode, I'm pretty sure Miyazaki wouldn't have let Disney have the rights to this movie if they weren't willing to stay as close to the script as possible. So it can't have been that bad of a translation, but here's what I picked up. Granny in the Japanese version kind of has like a mumbly way of talking, and so I didn't pick up a lot, but I got the gist. And in a direct translation sort of way, she kind of essentially says, these vegetables will be good for her body. She uses the word karada, which means body. In this context, that also means health, as in good for your body, good for your health, right? So I don't know if she says this will make her better. She does essentially say these would be good for her health.
This will improve her health. Maybe. I'm not translating.
Yeah. No,
you're
no, no.
Translating.
I'm agreeing to that assessment. And we have to remember that in the Japanese version, whatever she said still was the impetus for May to run away.
Still puts her on this path.
So that means that, you know, it's close enough to whatever she said in the English version. Because in the Japanese version, if she was like, well, no, of course this wouldn't heal her, but, you know, good vegetables can never hurt, you know, that then we wouldn't have had the end of the movie. So she must have said something along the lines of, this will be very helpful. But it was a slight change, a slight difference. But then again, there's a culturally different way that we express the same ideas. When I tell my students, even though I'm an English teacher, you know, I tell my students when I'm helping them with Spanish class, the big trap, for lack of a better word, I don't want to blame anybody for being bad at learning languages. That's not what I mean. But it's kind of a fallacy that people kind of get trapped in, that when they're trying to speak another language, that every single language expresses things in the exact same way. So it becomes very difficult for an English speaker to understand that while we use verbs like to go and to eat in Spanish, that infinitive is one word because they express things. The way I say it is, think about expressing the same idea in different ways. And so in Japanese, they are expressing the same idea as the English version in a different way, in their language's way of doing that. All language is variable, right? Everybody came to the same conclusion about how to say, I'm going to the store to buy a green apple. They just did it differently. So basically, the same idea is being expressed.
I have this problem because I'm bad at languages. I speak the one. I wish I spoke many more, but it's in my head. Like I want everything to be like a direct translation, but there's no such thing, right?
Right.
I want to know, like, well, what does this mean in this language? Like, it doesn't work like that because I'm thinking on the wrong level, and I know that about myself.
That's exactly it. People want to translate instead of expressing an idea, and so. Translated, the Japanese says, this would be good for her body, for instance. But expressing the idea is, this would be good for her health. You know, so anyway. So that's bad grading alert one. She plants the idea, essentially, that the corn that May has picked will cure her mother. And that comes up in Act 3, as we said. So then, a telegram arrives from the hospital that is vague as all get out. That's just like, hey, call about this woman who is your mother/wife. And a lot of heartache could have been avoided if they'd just been like, this woman has a... if they're already going to send a telegram with medical info in it, why are they being vague? Just be like, she has a cold, everything's fine, but you should contact us to follow up. You know? If the hospital called with test results and went like, we have your test results,
Can we have a bad hospitaling alert? Yeah. No, but like, this adds even more impetus for May to like... pull out all the stops and be like, I gotta get that corn, like, right there, right now.
Right, and I'm not gonna make this a full-on bad granning alert or bad Satsuki-ing alert, but, like, Satsuki and Kanta, who's there, Kanta brought the telegram, run to go call their dad, Mr. Kusakabe, and May goes to run after them, still holding the corn, And Granny yells, "May, you have to stay here with me," which is not going to work. I don't know how to say this. Like, I try to stay away from openly judging people and their parenting styles, but I have seen people with like 2 and 3 year old children wreaking havoc in a public place who are planted to the floor going, "Hey, get back here." I always say, if I know your kid's name by the time I leave the same store you're in, you're doing something wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's not, obviously there's so many variables to that, but like the example I can come up with is a woman whose son was taking a bunch of batteries off of a display while they were standing in line at the grocery store. And he was like 2 or 3 years old and he was just destroying that display. And she said, "I don't think there's any reason not to use his name. We're in a completely different state." So she was like, "Gabriel, get back here. Gabriel, stop that. Gabriel." And she's just planted to the floor. Like, sometimes with little kids, especially when they don't understand, you need to move and you need to get them.
Yeah. There's, yeah.
Especially for their safety. With May.
If they don't understand the context, you raising your voice isn't going to change anything.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's just like, well, you know, a battery, it looks like it would fit right in my hand. I'm going to hold it. Like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. And then Granny probably can't, she's not so spry. Maybe she can't run after May. Fine. Except then Satsuki, as she's running, turns around, sees May following them and yells, "You have to go back with Granny." Same thing. May continues to follow. I know she's scared and she wants to call her dad, but May needs to be safe. Take 2 seconds to stop. Explain to her, "I'm sorry. This is important. You need to stay with Granny," and walk her back. Will she throw a tantrum? Yes. Does that matter? No. And I know Sasuke's not an adult and she probably can't think about that, but it frustrates me every time. Like, I'm just like, the child is not going to listen. She has not listened to Granny. She will not listen to Sasuke. She will not listen to Ari, who is making himself known. That's fine. He's a baby.
Yeah, well, yeah. And yelling at him right now wouldn't change him babbling.
Yeah, Ari, stop babbling.
Yeah, stop Ari, schmabbling. Ari. That's not going to do anything.
So if I'm explicitly calling you out, I'm sorry. I am. I'm genuinely sorry. I'm sure you have your reasons for parenting like you parent. And honestly, I'm not a parenting coach, nor you know, do I have any right to tell you how to do your job as a parent.
And you're not paying us for parenting advice. So you get what it's worth.
Yeah. So sorry about that. But that's just my way of looking at it. So it frustrates me every time that they don't like take her back to stay with Granny. Okay. May explains to a goat that it can't have the corn she's holding, because it's for her mommy.
It's sacred corn.
She needs it to make her better. I wonder where she got that idea. That's a direct quote.
Right.
Like, and she believes this. She's internalized it.
And maybe you haven't seen the movie. Maybe you haven't seen it in a while. She's alone with a goat right now. Like, she is unsupervised.
Right, because nobody stopped her to make her go with an adult. Yeah. So I didn't even like talk about the part where she like ended up at school with Satsuki, because who cares? So it's not an important thing to analyze. Everything is important to analyze. Sorry, I said that. Analyze everything. I love over-analysis. Bad granting alert number 2. So they get back home and all they know is that their dad is going to check on stuff. And Satsuki is distraught because she doesn't know what's wrong with her mom and she's with Granny. And May is there somehow. And Satsuki says, direct quote, "What will we do if she dies? Maybe she's dead already." And Granny says, "Now don't say that, sweetheart. How could she ever leave such sweet girls like you?"
I have problems with this.
Yes, I feel like this is like your time to shine. Go for it.
She is, okay, so what if something happens? Her health takes a turn for the worse. Now it's tied to their goodness and sweetness and light as children, that if something happens to their mother, it's their fault. I don't know. There must be a better way to say that, but like, she's linked these two things, the sweetness of these children to their mother's survivability. And that's not good. That is potentially forever scarring.
Right. So what you're saying is, if she lives, it's because they were sweet enough. If she dies, this implies that they weren't sweet enough girls.
Yes, they right? did. They didn't, you know, I don't know, brush their teeth and eat their vegetables enough.
Or their mom is a bad person, because it's like, how could she ever leave you?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even look at that.
She left you. Yeah. So she did. She left.
She left because she hated you, I guess. I don't know you.
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second, which is, distraught child, you just want to comfort her. I get it. But, you know, and who knows if I could improvise a way to comfort a child that is distraught over the possibility of their mother dying. Like, I don't know if I could. But telling her that her mom will not leave her because she's so sweet seems dangerous.
Yes. And it doesn't have the same repercussions on physical action, but I imagine that this could be very emotionally scarring one way or another. And now, you know, if mom comes home from the hospital, everything's great, she has to go back to the hospital. Is it because I wasn't sweet?
Right. So now we have May running away to bring life-saving corn to their mom. We already talked about this, so whatever. Satsuki finds Totoro. The cat bus brings them to their mom. It turns out the mom is fine, and the hospital shouldn't have sent them anything. Ari just kicked the desk, so sorry about that. But then Granny finds, so while May is missing and before cat bus, Granny finds a sandal in a local pond, and everyone has bamboo poles and is combing the lake for a body.
Yeah, like, okay.
They are trying to find a dead child body.
It's a thing that there's a flooded rice paddy. They use that for weed control, basically. So the rice grows through and the water keeps anything else from growing. And they find a stray sandal.
A child sandal
in that rice paddy. And they freak out.
And start looking for a child's body.
May, specifically. But also, we never get any clarity on how that sandal got there.
Right, and I do have stuff to say about that. But first, to be clear, I thought Granny was hoping it was May's sandal because she was, like, praying over it. And it turns out, I went back and rewatched this scene. She was praying that it wasn't May's sandal because, like, Satsuki came by to, like, identify it.
Sure.
But so what you just said is what I wrote in my notes, which is best case scenario, a child was playing near the rice paddy, their shoe came off.
Right. They threw it out the window because they felt like it.
Yeah, the wind blew it into this rice paddy or pond or whatever. They call it a pond in the movie, so whatever. And the child is fine. Worst case scenario, there's a different dead child body in that pond. Like, they just never go back to that. They're so like,
should
oh, good,
we
it's not
stop
mixed.
Looking?
Yeah, like, The one dude yells like, okay, Granny just overreacted again, but like, still look, because...
Sandal, why?
The sandal still belongs to somebody. Sorry I keep bringing this show back to dead children. I'll put a trigger warning in the description.
You didn't create the door. Yeah. We just walked through it.
I'm walking through all kinds of doors for Totoro.
Oh, yeah.
They're holding up so many, or holding open, you don't hold up a door.
Yeah, I don't know, like, you could. Give me your money.
Okay. Unless it's a Lamborghini. Those ones go up, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't think they do that anymore. It was a thing. Oh. It was a thing for a while.
Yeah, it was in a Sherilyn Kenyon novel. She wanted him to be so cool, so he drove
one
of
the doors go up. Haha.
Yeah, that's what hot people drive. Cars with doors that go up. And anyway, right. So, also, is it dredging? I said combing, but you, like, comb the desert. Is it dredging the lake for body?
There's a word for it. Yeah,
is it comb? You comb the lake?
No, you comb the desert. You dredge a lake. I'm pretty sure. At me.
Yeah.
You can't because I don't Twitter, but at my wife.
Yeah. Well, we have a Twitter account for the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Do that then.
Yes. And you're not supposed to ruin the illusion like that you don't ever go on Twitter. They're about to find another kid's body is all I'm saying. Combing, dredging, whatever they're doing. And then the last thing is that Satsuki seeks the help of Totoro and Cat Bus and his dangling bits take Satsuki to meet May. They go to the hospital. Mom is fine. The end credits show their mom returning home, so I guess she doesn't die. All's well that ends well? Question mark? Like, all those bad granting alerts? At least she didn't die, so she's true to her word?
Yes. From the framework of this is a child's adventure, like, you don't want to have a movie where, like, everything, like, nothing happens and everybody goes to sleep on the couch. Like, I guess you need a plot.
Yes.
But...
And this is supposed to be about childhood whimsy.
But the plot has a lot of
Children coping with grief is a big theme
yes.
in a lot of movies because children don't know how to cope with grief always. And The Lion King traumatized enough people. And like, you know, it's an important thing, but...
Yeah, it was small decisions that could have been made better decisions.
Oh, speaking of, what have we learned? Decisions. Don't tell children that your vegetables will cure their indeterminately sick mother. If you are watching your child and working from home, make sure she checks in with you every once in a while. If you want a child to obey you and they're not obeying you, you may have to take a further step than yelling their name. Anything you want to add there? I don't know.
There's kind of like a butterfly effect thing. Like things spiral out of control sometimes. Like you tell a kid that like, oh, vegetables make you healthy. And then all of a sudden they go on a adventure. But like, and all's well that ends well. She got home. Okay. But no one ever talks about the first half of that where they go, don't set that up. Don't.
Just be careful message you say.
Don't shove a 4-year-old out the door
yeah.
and say good luck.
Yeah. Be careful in how you word things. Remember, kids take things very literally, you know, and when you're comforting a child, you still have to be aware of how you phrase things. And I love Miyazaki movies. If you've never seen a Miyazaki film, may I recommend Kiki's Delivery Service, Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, The Castle in the Sky.
Princess Mononoke.
If you have a strong stomach, Princess Mononoke.
it's meant to be a little bit, like that one's PG-13. It's meant to be a little gorier. It's meant to be a little bit more aggressive. Like, it has those aspects to it. So, like, there's blood in that movie.
As far as simplicity goes, Totoro is a very simple movie. So if you don't understand the art style or, like, what am I trying to say? If you don't understand, like, the kind of fantastical elements, because, like, Spirited Away gets bonkers, right? So if you need, like, an introduction to the genre, Totoro or Kiki, you know? But, like... Totoro is not his best, in my opinion. It just isn't.
Yeah.
Is it terrible? No. It's not terrible. I don't think it's terrible. I don't love it.
If you said, what is it? Totoro was like, what, 1988 or something like that?
Oh, I assume it was the 80s. I'll look it up.
It's one of his earlier works. And if you said, the best thing you ever did was one of your earlier works, he'd probably take that as an insult. He would want to think that his later works were better.
Wow, it is 1988.
I nailed that?
How did you do that?
I guessed. Okay. I almost said 89.
But you said 88. Yeah, no.
So yeah, he would want to think, like, yes, certain things improved. Certain things did. I got this story better. Like, that's how humans work. He's regular, other than the fact that he's a genius. And, yeah, he would want to think, like, oh, well, you know, as I progressed through my career, I did things differently on purpose.
Ari is fighting an alligator right now. So I might have to send Alan and Ari away to do the end of the show, but, like, don't worry about it. Basically, it's not the worst movie in the world. Certainly wouldn't say to avoid it. Just Miyazaki does better. He has. Oh, he's done better.
I mean, obviously, sure. We played it 7,000 times right. for our child because we know that it's a classic.
Yeah.
And we are.
And it's harmless.
As our catchphrase is, we are overanalyzing preschool content. Right. And yeah.
We've just seen it a lot.
And we have questions.
So, with that being said, let's just quickly end the show. I'm going to say this. I have plugged our Patreon, our Ko-fi, our Buy Me a Coffee, all that stuff a ton of times. All of the links and all of our Twitter is definitely in the description. We're at Not Again Pod. I'm at Bex Goos. That's B-E-X-G-O-O-S. Again, it's in the description. I just want to say the one thing I keep forgetting to say, even though it's in the description, is that we have merch. You can find Potato Lady Podcast Review and Not Again merch at the website in the description. It's teespring.com/store/potato-lady-merch. It's hard to say.
It's in the description.
It's in the description. It's on my website, potatoladypodcastreviews.com. There's so many ways to get to it. I have a newsletter going out every Sunday now. I just released the first one at time of recording. It's so fun, and it's got a lot of fun info and contests and promo swaps for podcasters and also for listeners if you want to find your next favorite podcast. And so you can sign up for that. That link will be in the description as well.
I am looking forward to my Potato Lady podcast iPhone case.
iPhone case, yes. That's coming. I got a shipping notification for that.
Bex has given me a lot of guff over the years about the fact that I don't like to use a case.
Well, you understand, like, men carry their phone in their pocket a lot.
Yes.
I mean, I do too, so, and I shouldn't say men, well, but like, it makes it bulky, you know? And I get that, but your phone
space
drops.
Is the final frontier. You run out of pocket.
Yes, but Ari smacks your phone off the couch all the time.
Yes.
So we need a case.
He's 4 months old. He flails his arms sometimes. He just pushes things over edges.
Anyway, thank you for helping us to maintain our marbles for one more week. Ari says thank you as well. Next week, we will be talking about
Brave.
I, like, just stared at Alan for a second. Brave, next week we have a very special guest coming. I'm so excited. I'm going to tweet about it a lot. So the next two episodes will be Special Guest and Brave by Pixar, because obviously we're the Pixar cast. Thank you. Thank you for composing our music. I haven't thanked you for that in a while. I love the new theme song and outro.
Oh, Ari thanks you as well.
Ari's very thankful. And we will see you next time with a very special two-parter. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Alan.
That's Ari. And we'll see you later. Bye, friends.